Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Qatar says it's reconsidering the hostage talks mediator role after suffering abuse. Qatari Prime Minister claims that the Gulf state is a victim of point scoring by unnamed politicians trying to conduct election campaigns by slighting Doha. It is, I guess, not unexpected, considering their role. But let's speak to James Marlowe. He's a former political consultant to the Prime Minister's office and a foreign ministry in Jerusalem. He's an Israel analyst. We've spoken to him before. James Marlowe, thank you for speaking to us again. How are you?
Howard, hello. Good morning to you. The last time we spoke, and actually the last time you asked me that, I said we were waking up to the breaking news of Israel accidentally hitting the aid workers.
That's right.
Seven of them were killed.
That is right.
And this morning, I'm waking up to the news of a possible Israeli strike on Iran. So, but I'm still managing to stay positive and get my communication skills hat on and being able to explain to a number of media outlets information that they might be seeking at this point. So thank you. I'm fine.
Right. Fine, but busy. And as I said to somebody earlier, I just wish they wouldn't have to do all of these things over a weekend. Last Saturday evening, I don't think was a very restful time for anybody with Iran attacking, now Israel responding. Hopefully it'll be contained, though.
Well, actually, the Iranians were very, very kind because they waited until after Shabbat had gone out inside of Israel. So that was, very gracious of them.
Very nice. Very, very, very nice indeed. Okay, so let's talk about Qatar, though, because they have played a very strange role here, being the hosts for Hamas leadership, trying to balance, I think, their international image by playing the mediator, but I don't think it's worked out so well for them, has it?
You know, I was on LBC Radio News yesterday in the United Kingdom, and we were scheduled to speak about Iran, but that question came up. It was actually the first question. I wasn't expecting it. And the question was along the lines of something like the report of the Qataris perhaps wishing to back out now of negotiations between the Americans and the Israelis and the French, and of course Hamas, because they are the ones who deal directly with Hamas. And do you read into this, James, was the question. Do you read into this that this is just the Qataris completely fed up with Netanyahu? And my response was, actually, on the contrary, I read into this that the Qataris are probably very fed up with Hamas, because the Qataris at the last deal, which Hamas refused, and that was the fifth deal that they refused, at the last deal, the Qataris were encouraging the Hamas organization to take the deal on the table. And that was a deal whereby the Hamas organization would release 40 prisoners, mostly the remaining women and children, and of course the little baby, now 1 year old, Kafir Bibas, and those who are very, very sick, in other words, the elderly people. So the number mounted to about 40, and in response, the Israelis had upped their release of Palestinian prisoners from Israeli jails, not those detainees, but those who have actually got blood on their hands, attempted murder, bombings, attempted suicide bombings, etc. Some of them convicted for many, many years, and Israel was prepared to release those. But Hamas decided that they didn't like that deal after they'd considered it and thought about it. And they thought that if they start to give up their trump cards as such, in other words, the Israeli hostages, if any of them are still alive and still able to go ahead and function as a person, then they perhaps are just signing their own death warrants, because the next stage could be that the Israelis will go into Rafah. So this is the reason why Hamas were always saying, well, firstly, there has to be a 6 weeks period of complete quiet inside of Gaza, then the Israelis would have to withdraw. And this is something that the Israelis said that they couldn't do. And the reason why they couldn't do it is because that we've seen this before. For the last 10 years, Hamas have held four Israelis. Two of them are Israeli Arabs, and the other two are two soldiers believed to be dead. In fact, they've been confirmed to be dead. So once you leave the Gaza, the Hamas can continue to play games for years and years. And that's what the Israeli government fears, that if there was some type of withdrawal, then Hamas could just draw this out. So in answer to what you're asking, the Qataris, obviously, I thought at the time, were very frustrated with Hamas. And perhaps as an independent sovereign nation, they felt that it doesn't look good on their country. They've also, I heard a report last night to say that they've considered soon after October the 7th to expel Ismail Haniyeh and Khaled Mashal from the country. But obviously they thought about it, but they didn't take action.
Is obviously Hamas is an enormously wealthy organization, but Qatar as a country is as well. So I guess the question is, what is the benefit to Qatar to host Hamas? Is it financial, or is it actually ideological?
I think it's more ideological, a support of the Muslim Brotherhood, a support of the so-called resistance against Israel. Unlike, of course, its neighbors, the UAE and Bahrain and even Oman, do not feel, probably also Saudi Arabia, do not feel the same as the country of Qatar, and also Kuwait also has a similar ideology. It's interesting because Israel, if you go back way back to 1991, Israel was the one that was not only a little bit concerned about the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait and wiping it completely off the map, actually it was the end of 1990, but also supported the fact that an alliance would go together, led by the Americans, of course, the British and many other countries, to hit the Iraqis inside of Kuwait. So in other words, Israel was very much supporting the Emir of Kuwait. And that's some time ago. But today, again, they've still got that same mentality towards Israel. Why do they host them? Well, there could be a number of other reasons. You mentioned the millions. So, yes, millions have gone into Gaza, and they've come out of Gaza and ended up in Qatar. And, of course, these two people, along with their other associates and assistants and generals, live like kings inside of Qatar. And I think there is some type of a relationship. There's an establishment over there between the two of them. But that's not to say that Qatar might come under huge amount of American pressure and may have to kick them out. The question is, where would they go? Maybe Turkey, maybe probably not Iran, because it's a different type of ideology, but maybe they would. Possibly you can see the geopolitics in the area, where there are the beginning of the of alliances between rogue countries and the moderate Arab countries along with the West. You can see, for example, China close to North Korea. And that alongside China is also close with Iran.
Right.
Pakistan is involved in that. Now, Russia would be close with Iran itself. So you've got Russia, you've got China, you've got North Korea, you've got Pakistan, four nuclear powers, plus you've got Iran, a potential nuclear power on the rise. And then alongside of that, of course, you've got the Americans and the British and the West, with the moderate Arab states, Saudi and Bahrain and UAE. And this is what is potentially on the horizon of this alliance, as we find ourselves in an extremely volatile world today, very similar to the 1930s. And I think, just to move over slightly to Iran, that this this idea that the West don't want to really antagonize Iran. It's a powerful nation. It's certainly a world leader when it comes to ballistic missiles. And it was Iran itself that supplied, certainly from summer of 2022, Iran was the main supplier of UAVs to Russia, and Russia used them regularly to make attacks inside of Ukraine, 30 or 40 of them. So you can see this alliance which is taking place, and as I said, a 1930s type of moment, and the Chamberlain type of Western attitude is that let's not antagonize those bully boys.
Yes, this is the school program. Appeasement, and it's never worked yet. Yet somehow that's where we're at.
But we are in a 1930s type of attitude, and eventually there is going to have to be a showdown with Iran. There is going to have to be some type of a West alliance, along with the modern Arab states, to say you cannot continue to build up your enrichment of uranium and the spinning of the centrifuges. Yeah. And this brings us all back to the JCPOA agreement, which Donald Trump pulled out in when he became president in 2016. But it was a terrible, terrible agreement, although still
of the ballistic missiles. James, unfortunately, I do need to leave it there. They're signaling me that I'm running over time, but I just found this conversation so interesting. So we do, unfortunately, need to leave it there. James Marlers, former politician, consultant to the Prime Minister's Office, Foreign Ministry in Jerusalem, and Israel analyst. Absolutely fascinating conversation. 8:47.